25th chapter of the book of Genesis. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. I suppose you could say it's a shortcoming that we all have as human beings. We can't see the future. All we can do is live in the moment that is right in front of us. That's it. That's all we can see. And there's a problem with that. And that is that when the moment in front of us is lousy, is rotten, is uncomfortable, hurts, however you want to describe it, well, it's very, very difficult to see anything else. We rely upon faith. St. Paul, of course, tells us that in the New Testament. We walk by faith, not by sight. But still, we as human beings only really hold on to and take hold of that which we can see. That's the way we are by nature. We live in the moment. But the story of Joseph, which you all probably know very well from your Sunday school days, gives us another way of looking at things. Gives us a way to, if you will, see past the moment that is in front of us, and to hold on to something far greater than the moment in front of us. You know the story of Joseph very well. Joseph had those dreams, you'll remember, where he was better than his brothers. And make no bones about it, that's what the dreams were about. They talk about haystacks, all bowing down to him and the like, you know. Joseph had dreams, and he made them known, in which he was better than his brothers. His brothers had had enough of that, and his brothers eventually sold him into slavery, to slaveholders, who took him eventually to Egypt. You know the problems that Joseph had in Egypt. Not only was he sold into slavery by his brothers, and his father told that he was dead, that a wild animal had killed him, but he was thrown into prison when he got to Egypt too, because you remember, the one who bought him, his wife, kind of had eyes on Joseph and tried to seduce him, and Joseph refused. And then she made up all kinds of stories about him and got him thrown into prison. Joseph is sold into slavery, betrayed by his own brothers. He is now in prison in Egypt, and he has done absolutely nothing wrong other than say, look, I had a dream. And if anyone could be feeling sorry for himself in that moment, I'm sure it was Joseph, and maybe he was. Maybe he was. I don't know a human being alive who wouldn't. But then Pharaoh started having those troubling dreams, remember? And Joseph, well, he could interpret dreams. And they brought him out to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, and no one else could. Brought him out of the dungeon. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And he said, look, there's going to be 7 years of famine. So here's what you do. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So here's what you've got to do. During those 7 years of plenty, you've got to store up food for everybody to get through the 7 years of famine. And so the Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of that. And sure enough, famine came. After 7 years of plenty, the famine came. Joseph's words were true. And Joseph was raised to a level of authority second only to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. Now back in Joseph's homeland, his family is beginning to starve. They're hungry, but they've heard there's food in Egypt. on the throne in Egypt. Joseph recognizes his brothers. They don't recognize him. He knows who they are. If ever the moment of revenge made itself available to Joseph, it was then. Joseph had the opportunity to get them back for forcing him to live in those awful moments that he was forced to live in. And that's where our text for today picks up. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. I'm Joseph, your brother. They don't want to talk to him. They know what's coming. Or do they? Because you see, suddenly it appears that Joseph, in reflecting on those moments that he was forced to live through, sees a far greater plan at work. He sees the hand of God himself. And Joseph knows that if all of those bad moments hadn't happened, Joseph would not be in the position he was in now to save his family. To save them from extinction. Ultimately, to keep the line of Messiah open. And Joseph does not use his revelation as a moment of revenge. He says, brothers, I got something to tell you. You didn't send me here. God did. He sent me here to save you guys. That's why I came here. That's why I had to live through everything I had to live through. It was the hand of God at work. What was Joseph telling his brothers? Very simply, that as a child of God, we are his servants. And as his servants, God can and will use us as he sees fit. And oftentimes for the betterment of others. And I suppose that's one thing that we need to get beyond when we live in the moment, and that is that we are here living this life on this earth for ourselves and ourselves only. We may broaden that to our families. But what Joseph tells us in this story, very simply, is that God has concern for all people. Joseph hadn't met most of the people in his family, even. He didn't know if he'd have liked them or not. But Joseph knew that he was a servant of the Most High. And as such, the Most High used him as he needed him, as he needed Joseph to carry out plan of God, and so with you and me. Yes, the moments may very well be uncomfortable. Who knows what this afternoon's winds are going to bring to each one of us? We haven't the foggiest. We can't see the future. If something lousy happens, we will be living in that moment. But Joseph is going to come to us and tell us, wait a minute. You are a servant of the Most High. And as such, know he is using you right now in this moment the way he needs to use you for the furtherance of his kingdom. Last June, we had a pickup truck drove into the front of our church here. You all recall the shambles that sat there for months. Finally got it fixed up. And then in January, when the crews were out here and they were beginning work on it, I showed up here one day, and of course, as I always nosy and I butt in and talk to everybody, And one of the workers came up to me on that day, and he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I believe everything happens for a reason. And I said, yeah, you tell yourself that time and time and time again when something lousy happens. And he says, for instance, I believe this happened so I could meet you and I could talk to you. Joseph. That's the story of Joseph. It doesn't have to be world-saving as it was in Joseph's case. It might be that things happen so that some door somewhere down the road opens that normally wouldn't open, and you might be able to smile at somebody who needs a smile. I don't know. But as children of Jesus Christ, we know we are His servants. We know that He wants His kingdom to be expanded here. And as His servants, we make ourselves available to Him to use us as He sees fit. And therefore, every moment that I live, I cling to that in faith. God is using me. God is using me the way He needs to use me for the betterment of His kingdom here on the earth. It may not make the moment easier to live through, but it certainly will mark me as a child of the Most High. Amen. We now gather the offering.